It's like, this is so loud and this is so bright. Okay. Let me just pray really quickly. Heavenly Father, I just want to come before you right now, Lord. God, I just thank you so much, Lord, for this time, Lord. I thank you, God, for just the privilege of being your daughters, God. Thank you for this work that you're doing in our lives, God. Thank you, Jesus, because you're so faithful to us, God. And not one of us in this room deserves it, God. Lord, we want to live our lives for your glory, for your fame, God. Jesus, just be glorified in this time, God. May I just simply share, God, what you've taught me, Lord, with my friends, God. I just love you so much, God. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay, I just wanted to first share a little bit of who I am, because I know, like Lisa was saying, I did grow up in the church, but I know a lot of you guys, well, some of you guys are even from different churches, but those of you who are from La Mirada, some of you guys don't know me, and I don't know you guys, and it's actually kind of funny, because I don't get to visit that often, but when I do visit, I'll, be sitting at church, and afterwards, after worship, they'll be like, oh, greet everybody, and, somebody will come up to me, like, hey, how are you? Is this your first time here? And I'm kind of like, no, how long have you been here? Or how long have you been coming? Oh, for 15 years. It's kind of like, no, I don't really say that. But I think it sometimes. I'm like, oh, because people have no idea who I am. So, and I understand this because I'm not at the church that often. And so I just wanted to explain to you guys how I'm in Ensenada, Mexico right now. And I've been there for about a year and a half. I'm going to Bible college and I graduate in May. And I'm excited. During that time in Mexico, I grew up in the church, and I was homeschooled and stuff, and then right when I was going to graduate, I was praying about going to different schools and stuff. I really had no idea what I wanted to do, but all through, when I was in the youth group at church and stuff, I loved going on the missions trips. I loved serving at the church. It was just, I loved that kind of stuff, and I always felt like God was calling me to something more, to serve him with everything that I have, but I didn't really know what that was exactly. And so as I was praying to sign up for school and stuff, I went on one last trip with the youth group to Mexico to an orphanage that wasn't really started up yet, but it was going to be started soon. And just to make a long story short, God just totally grabbed my heart there and was like, I want you back here. And honestly, at that time, it wasn't like he wasn't telling me, I want you back here for the rest of your life, or I'm specifically calling you to Mexico, you have a calling here. It wasn't like that. It was just kind of like, I need to come back. You need to be obedient. And I remember in that time, Pastor Brian was teaching on Jonah, how crazy, at church. And so, because I had gone there, I went there in the summer. That's when the Lord tugged on my heart. I decided I'm not going to go to school. I'm going to go to Mexico. I went there and did a month internship, and it was at the orphanage, and it actually started by that time, and it was the hardest thing I've ever done. It was I didn't speak Spanish, and it was so just super duper crazy hard, and I came back thinking no, can't go back there, this is really, really hard. And that's when Pastor Brian was teaching on Jonah, and I was God has a plan A for your life, but we can go and try to go around that plan, but just like Jonah did, he's going to bring us back, and we can avoid all that pain and all that, being dumped into the sea and swallowed by a whale if we just obey him in the beginning. I was I don't want to be Jonah, so... So I was okay, Lord, I'll go. And in our minds, we always kind of put a time, not a time limit on God, but just kind of, we always like to put a time for something, And I was okay, I'm going to go for 6 months. And I've been there for 6 years now. So it's God is just, the way he works is just so crazy. And basically it's just been one step at a time. And I worked at the orphanage for about a year, and then after that, the orphanage was on a ranch, and after that, we moved off the ranch, and I know many of you guys from La Mirada know Hassan and Stacey as well. I've basically been alongside them this entire time, and they're my second family. They are my family, and I love them, and so I've had the privilege of being able to serve with them this entire time. And so we moved off the ranch. We were serving at, they planted a church over there, Calvary Chapo Las Palmas, and I was serving there and being able to just basically, because the church started from ground up, and I just learned so much about ministry, and I basically served in any area that there was a need, and I've been able to just to learn in different things, and, you know, the finances and the children's ministry and the women's ministry and every little thing, you know, that is a church does and learns. And so it's been great. And then God, I was, as I was there, I've been just, you know, I was praying, Lord, I really want to go and study, you know, and I really want to learn more about your word. And I don't know, you know, you've called me here and what's your timing and when can I go and should I go to school and stuff. And so about an hour from Las Palmas is the church, is the Bible College in Ensenada. And so God just totally opened up the door for me to be able to go there and study. And I've been able to also still serve with Hassan and Stacy during the breaks and some at school. If I have time, I can go over there and still help them and stuff. So it's just been really, really awesome. And like after I graduate, you know, a couple of people have asked me here, what are you going to do after? And I'm just like, honestly, I don't know. But the truth is, I've never known what I'm doing. I just want to serve the Lord. And I don't know how many of you guys know how that feels. You're just like, I don't know what I'm doing, God, but all I know is that you know. So if I know that you know, then I know it's good, you know? You know? Okay, so I want to kind of get into the study now that I want to talk about. I really wanted to focus on the verse in 1 Timothy 4:12. It's something kind of funny. Well, maybe it's not funny, but funny to me. And is that Lisa, I had been studying for a while and meditating on these scriptures, and God seriously just like spoke to me so much. And that's honestly, that's what's so exciting about like sharing the word, because it's not, I'm not coming up here and preparing a whole study for you guys, you know. I study this, and God spoke to me, and I just want to pour out what God spoke to me to you guys, and I pray that you guys can just receive it, and that the Lord will speak to you. But what's funny is in my time of preparing, like, Lisa called me, and I was like, I was kind of like nervous about it, thinking about it every time, and then finally, you know, I finally just had this peace about it. I was like, okay, I feel like things are coming together, and then Lisa calls me, and she's like, okay, so what's the title of your message? And I was like, like, it was kind of silent for a second on the phone. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even have a title. Like, it's because I had the verse that I was focusing on and stuff, but in my mind, it was just like maturing in Christ, you know, like growing up in Him. But like, and then I see like all the little titles of the messages here, like, what was yours? How did your garden grow? That's so cute. Or like, sprout up in the Lord, or sprout in the sun. It's so cute. And so, anyways, we kind of brainstormed, and like, I explained some of my, a little bit of my study, and we thought of, you know, the title. But it was just so funny how like, I felt such a peace, and then I was like, the title, how am I going to give a study if I don't even know the title? But like, just weird things how my mind works and stuff. Anyways, I'm really excited to share with you guys what the Lord has spoken to me, and more like the, I'm like, the title is Deepening Your Roots, but what I more wanted to focus on is the purpose of deepening your roots and also how we deepen our roots. I love it because so many of the songs that we've been singing is about giving, like, okay, I wrote actually the words down yesterday. It was a song that we sang last night, and it was talking about how as soon as we started singing, I saw the words, I was like, oh my gosh, and I started writing it down, because some of the words to songs that you hear are just like prayers that your heart never thought of before. It's like a prayer to God that you didn't even, like, you couldn't even think of praying, but yet as you see the words, like, well, yes, that's what my heart wants to pray, God, or that's what my heart wants to say to you. And it's so cool. And so as I was listening to that song, I saw it said, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Come and flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. And as I was like looking at that, and it said, like, your glory is what our hearts long for. And like, honestly, that's what I want to focus on. Like, the purpose of our growth, the purpose of deepening our roots is for God's glory. You know, the purpose of our worship is for God's glory. The purpose of anything that we do in our lives should always, always, always be for God's glory. There's no other reason why we're living. There's no other reason why we've been put here on this earth but to give glory to God. And so I want to look at Timothy's example, and it's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, and I just want to read this verse. It says, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And so, I don't know, it was kind of like, as I was thinking about, like, this verse and stuff, and I was like, don't, I don't know about you guys, but haven't you felt overwhelmed sometimes? But, like, you see all the areas that you need to grow in your life. You see these areas that you need to be an example in, these areas that you want God to work in your life. And it's just kind of like, Lord, this is overwhelming. Like, I want this so badly. I want you to change me. I want, like, all these things that we've been hearing through this week. And it's like, God, yes. Like, how many of you guys are like, amen, like, do that in my life, right? Yes. It's just like, Jesus, change me. But sometimes it's like, we could focus on, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? How is this going to work out? Like, I bet even Timothy was like, oh, okay, Paul, you're telling me be an example in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. It's like, okay, Timothy, I want you to be perfect, you know? And really, that's what we're called to be. We're called to be perfect. The Bible, the word says, be holy as I am holy. But it's like, how is this going to happen? You know what I mean? And it's like, sometimes even in my own life, especially being at Bible college, you're constantly being fed the word of God. You're constantly shown, it's like open to you. And it's like, this is how you need to live. This is what God needs, and your heart's constantly like a, just, you know, it says the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's always like piercing your heart, piercing your heart, piercing your heart. And sometimes you could like be like, whoa, like, how is this all going to come about, God? I just want to be there. I just want to be like you. I just want you to do this in me. Sometimes, like, you wake up in the morning and you just, I'm just going to be super loving today. I'm just going to be this, like, great example, you know, because you've been hearing it the whole week in your devotionals. It's like, God speaks to you, you need to be this, or, you know, I wanted to do this in your life, or you hear it in a class, or you hear it on a radio station, whatever. It's like, okay, you know, and then you start thinking, okay, I'm gonna wake up today, I'm going to be super loving, you know, I'm just going to be such a great, pure example. And then, like, someone, or in my case, like, someone comes up and it's like, can I borrow this shirt? Or they take it without even, because we live in a dorm. And so it's like, they take a shirt without even asking. It's like, oh, you just get so mad, you're not loving, and you fail right away. And it's just like, or just dumb little things. I know for you guys also, just, I mean, in your own houses and stuff like that, in your own families, it's like, you want to do it, but on your own strength, you just can't. You're going to fail. And like, God, it's kind of funny, but when I was studying, I was just praying one day, and God just, I wasn't even trying to think of like a metaphor or anything, but God just like brought this to my mind. And it's kind of funny. I thought of it as being like, I call it high heel Christians. It's kind of like, you know, let's say you're 5'3", and you put on 3-inch heels, okay? And you're walking around all day long, and you look like you're 5'6", right? And you're walking around all day, and, you know, you're taller than some people, and you can wear those heels all day long, but what's eventually going to happen? You know, you're going to get a blister on your foot, or your back's going to start hurting, or whatever, and you're going to eventually, at the end of the day, take those off, and you're going to go back down to your original height. You're 5'3", because you never really were 5'6". And I feel like that's how it is in my life sometimes. I feel like I try to put on these, like, high heels, you know, and, like, I'm so loving, I'm going to be so loving today, or I'm so, be an example to the believers in word, oh, I'm so, you know, my words are just going to be so great today, or my conduct is going to be great and stuff like that. But then, like, little things happen. You get something, you know, you're weaker in the day, or your back starts hurting spiritually, or whatever you want to call it. You know, you get a blister. It's like you're back down to your original height because it was your own strength that was trying to bring that growth. And so what I want to talk about is the Spirit is the one that brings that growth in our lives, and how, you know, it even says in the Bible, it's like, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. And something that separates the believers from the world, what's one thing that separates us from the world? The Holy Spirit. God never calls us to do something that he doesn't give us the strength for. God is here speaking to all of us saying, I want to work these things in your life. He's not saying, go home and do it on your own. He's saying, go home. I'm going to fill you with my Spirit. I've given my Spirit is your comforter. My Spirit is your helper. I'm going to help you. I'm going to bring about these things in your life. How many promises do we see in the Bible that the work that he starts in us, he's going to finish? He doesn't start the work and then we finish it. It's not about that. The growth is not going to come through ourselves, through our own strength. It's through his Spirit. The need for growth. You know, a lot of times we can come to know the Lord. And something that I heard in the city one time, and I really loved it, he said, one of the pastors in Mexico, he said, salvation is the first step, not the last. You know, and many times we come to the Lord and like, we're expecting, it's like, God, I thought you were going to make me perfect. You know, I thought when I came to all these things were just going to come. But it's not. It's a process, and it's a lifelong process. I even look at, like, the life of Paul and stuff. And I don't know if you guys have read the book of Philippians, but Philippians was written by Paul about 30 years after his conversion on the road to Damascus. And you know what he's saying in Philippians? He's saying, I'm still pressing on towards the goal. I haven't achieved. I haven't arrived. I'm not there yet. You know, I'm still pressing on. I'm still looking. I'm still seeking that knowledge. I'm still seeking growth in my life. I'm not there yet. And so salvation is just the beginning. God has a lifelong work of growth in our lives, and it's for his glory. And so I wanted to look at a verse in Colossians 2:6-7. Verse 6, it says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." And so at the beginning, I like it because it says, as you've therefore received him, you have Christ. Now, and what are the words that it says next? You guys want to tell me some of the words that it says? Like, I think they're verbs. Walk. Okay, what else? Be rooted. It says, be built up in him. Established. Abounding. I think some of us have different versions. But, like, I like the version that I have right here. It says abounding. It's like, be plentiful. After you've received Christ, you've come to salvation, and I believe that everybody here is saved. I know, like, an altar call went out on Friday night, and I believe that everybody here, you know, we know the Lord, and so we have that first step down, but we need to walk in him. We need to be rooted. We need to be built up. We need to be abounding in the work, and that's something that God has been speaking to me a lot, even right now on this trip, is like, abounding. Like, we can choose how much we're going to abound. And I loved it because it's like what Pastor Brian was saying was, you know, some produce 10-fold, 24-fold, 30-fold. Some produced 100. It's our choice how much we're going to grow. It's our choice how much we're going to seek the Lord. It's our choice. Like, and I also like what he said. It's like, if you see, you know, if you're walking down the street and you see a $10 bill, a $20 bill, a $30 bill, a $100 bill, and you can only choose one of them, which one are you going to choose? I'm going to go for the $100 bill, you know, right? Aren't we all? In our walks, it should be the same way. I'm going to abound in the work. I want to be plentiful. I want God to just do above and beyond. It says he could do above and beyond what we could ask or think, you know? And so that's what I want the work in my life. And I hope that for you guys as well, that we want to abound, that after salvation, we just want to continue. And even like Paul, 30 years from now, we'll still be saying, I want to abound in this work. I want to continue on. I want to press on because I'm not there yet. You know, and I know, and it says, it's funny because the verse says in 1 Timothy, it talks about, let no one despise your youth. And I never forget, like a couple years ago, actually on a women's retreat, I remember, I think Lisa was like, okay, let's see a show of hands. How many of you guys have been walking with the Lord this long? You know, 10 years. How many of you guys have been walking with the Lord 20 years? And it was just neat to see all the different people and the different, you know, time that people have been walking with the Lord. And what you'll realize is that there's always going to be someone that's walking with the Lord longer than you. You know, there's always going to be somebody that's walking with the Lord less time. But we're all called to continue on. We're never called to stop where we're at. We're called to continue on in this process. And so I want to look at some advice that Paul gives to Timothy, and it's actually back in chapter 4, a couple of verses before verse 12. It's in verse 7. It says, but reject, he's talking to him, and he says, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. And so I really like what he says. It's like a comparison. He's like, don't do this, do that. You know, and in our own lives as well, if we want to grow, if we want to become this example that's filled with the Holy Spirit, we have to reject certain things in our life that are going to hinder us from growing, and we have to seek other things. It's the same way if you, let's say, just like for, if you want to get into shape, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to reject candy. You're going to reject things that are bad for your health. And you're going to, what else are you going to do? You're just going to stop there? No, you're going to start exercising. You're going to start eating the right things. So you're going to leave certain things aside, and you're going to seek other things. And I like how it says, like, reject old wives' fables. And it's kind of like, I was thinking about that. It's like, those are just like, wives' fables is, to me, it's like silly things, you know? Things that make no sense. Things that aren't going to help you at all. Things that are false. And so even in our own lives, it's like, God, I think about it, it's like, God, what's in my life that maybe it's not sin, but what's in my life that I'm kind of seeking or not rejecting that is just kind of not helping me out at all? And I think all of us can look at our lives and we could all find something that is just kind of like, it's not helping us. Lord, if I can leave that, even if it's not sin, like I said, if I can leave that just to have a little more time with you, that's what we need. That's what I need, you know? I just want to talk about what the Holy Spirit's work of growth and maturity looks like in our lives. And from my own life, the way I feel like God has grown me a lot is through three different areas. And I know it's going to be, I feel like it's the same for everybody else. It's been through spending time with Him, personal time with Him. It's been through serving Him that I felt like I've grown, He's matured me. And it's been through trials. And I think the same thing is true for all of our lives. You know, God is going to use all those different three things in our lives to deepen our roots, to get us so that we're abounding in Him. But I think the most important one, especially for me, and even how Lisa was talking about this morning, tend to your garden. That's the most important one to me, is that my time alone with God. And even it's like, if God's going to bring me through a trial or whatever, my time alone with God is going to prepare me for that. If God is going to call me to serve Him in something, my time alone is going to prepare me for that, you know? And so, and even like I was thinking about it, and, you know, Jesus is in every area, right? He's the perfect example for us. And especially, I want to look at a verse in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It's just an example of how, you know, Jesus spent time alone with the Father. And if Jesus did it, I mean, right? How much more do we need to do it? This was a whole day after serving. It says in Mark 1:35, it says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." And I was like, if the Savior of the world went and sought time with the Lord, and I love it because if you guys read before, he was serving all day. Don't you think he was tired? He was a fully man. I know he's God, but like we have to remember, he was fully man. He still got tired. He was casting out demons. It says, even in verse 32, it says, "At the evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. And the next morning he wakes up early before the sun had risen." Don't you think he went to bed late? Don't you think he was tired? And he gets up. And he sacrifices so that he could have that time of strength with the Father. We're humans, you guys. We need that even more. And I know you guys, I know some of you guys are full-time moms. I know you work. I know that you have just so many things that you do during the day. But I think it's so important that we sacrifice and we, you know, it's, I know everybody has different devotional times. And I'm not going to say what's right or what's wrong, but I know for myself, I need to get up early in the morning and seek the Lord. If I don't get up early and seek the Lord in the morning, I'm not going to do it till the end of the day, and I've already messed up the entire day, you know? And then I seek, and I'm like, God, I messed up. Why did I make that decision? Why did I say that thing? I should have spent time with Him before. Not that my day is going to go perfect if I spend time with Him, but that's where my strength is going to come from. It's that sacrifice. It's really, you're not going to see change in any area of your life if you don't have discipline and sacrifice. I think that's really, really important. And even apart from Jesus' example of how he sought the Lord, who's a man in the Bible that was known as the man after God's own heart? David. I want to look at some, just how he shows us how he rose up early in the morning and sought the Lord. I want to look in Psalm 5, verse 3. Just a couple of Psalms I want to look at. It says, 5, verse 3, it says, "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." So we just see David crying out to the Lord, praying in the morning, talking to the Lord early in the morning. I want to read another Psalm, 119, verse 147. It says, "I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word." So again, we just see David, he cries out to the Lord. And what else does he do? Hope in your word. He's in the word early in the morning. Psalm 59:16. It says, "But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble." He's praising the Lord in the morning. 88:13. It says, "But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you." I just see again another example. And there's, you guys, there's tons of psalms. Tons of psalms. David just pouring out his heart to the Lord. That's just a great example for us as well. We need to rise. We need to pour out our heart to the Lord. We need to hope in his word. We need to seek him. We need to praise him. I really think that through these things we'll be able to be sincere growth in our life. And it won't be like that, "I'm loving, you know, like I was saying. or I'm good, I'm whatever it is that we're trying to be, it'll be a sincere change that God brings about in our lives through the word, through our time with the Lord, through our trials, through serving him. And I said the word sincere because actually there's an example that I've heard so many times. It's because we have to do, at school, we have to listen to Chuck tracks. I don't know if you guys, any of you guys know what those are. They're audios of Chuck Smith that you have to listen to from Genesis to Revelation, and you end up listening to the whole Bible taught by Chuck Smith through your 2 years in school. And so I've never met Chuck Smith, but I just feel like he's my best friend. Like, I love him so much because I just hear him all the time. But one of the examples that he uses is with this word sincere, and it's really cool because I even understand it better in Spanish, because the word sin in Spanish is without, and then cera is wax. So the word sincere really means like without wax, or it means like of true value. And why it means without wax is because it talks about how, like, back in other times, when potters would make, they would be making some kind of pottery. If he was, like, a dishonest potter, what he would do is, as he was making it, if there was a crack in the pot or whatever, what they'd do is they'd fill it with wax, and it would dry up, and it would just look like still a real, true pot that has real value. But what would happen is, as you put that out in the sun, or just through time, what would happen is where the wax was filled in, that crack, it would melt away, and you'd be able to see this wasn't real value. This wasn't made with real value. It was fake, you know? And so when people would go to buy those pots, they would ask the potters, they would say, is this sincere? Is this, literally they'd be saying, is this without wax? Is this of real value? And so for our lives, like to be of real value, the Spirit has to do that in us. The Spirit has to do that work in us. Just what I want to talk about now is really, how I was saying at the beginning, our lives are for God's glory. Our love and our conduct and our word and everything else that comes from our lives should be for God's glory. I think as we're being that sincere example, as we're having that sincere growth in our life, that growth that has value, that those roots go deep, people aren't going to look at our lives and say, wow, she's a good person. You know that Susie over there? She's very loving, you know? Or just the way, I hope no one's name is Susie here. I tried to think of a name that I haven't heard. But sorry if your name's Susie. But like, whoever, we're not going to look at that person and applaud them because it's nothing to do with them. Like I said before, it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit that does it. And so if the Spirit's doing a work in our lives, what we should be seeing is that, how it says later on, at least I read this verse yesterday, that it should be evident to all. But what should be happening is that the glory is supposed to be going to God. So people should look at our lives and say, how loving is your God? How great is your God? How, it says pure, how pure is your God? You know, there's a song, and I printed out the lyrics. I really, really, really like it. It's just like a song that I just like, I mean, there's so many, like I was saying before, there's so many songs that are just great. But this one, it's just like my heart for this. It says, it's called You, and it's by Hillsong, so you guys have probably sang it at church or even heard of it before. But it says, invading all my weakness, you wrapped me up in grace. The worst of me succeeded by the best of you. My heart is overtaken, my soul is overwhelmed. The worst of me succeeded by the best of you. My dreams have found their purpose, my future in your hands. This life would have no meaning if it weren't for you. So I lay me down for kingdom come. Steal all that is within me, because all I want in this world is more of you. This is my favorite part. The less of me, it is you. Increasing as I fade away, your light for all the world to see. God, it is you that breaks the chains. It is you who lights the way. And everything I am cries out for you. It says, Lord, make my life transparent, your life and mine displayed, and let every earthly glory go back to you. I love that. It's like, Lord, when people look at my life, may they just see right through me. May not even be anything. May I don't even know my name. Let them look it straight and just say your name. Right? Isn't that what we want? It's like, isn't even Jesus is like, look, his purpose when he came was to bring glory to the Father. Our lives are no different. Through God's Spirit, we're going to bring glory to the Father. But without his Spirit working these things in our lives, it's just, we're going to try to get, look at me, look at how I'm growing. Have you ever met somebody that's just kind of like, thinks they're so mature, but you look at them and you're like, you're not. You're not mature. We don't want to be those people. Oh, I'm so mature. I'm so spiritual. we shouldn't even need to say that. It should be evident to all. And the reason that it's evident is that the glory should be going to God through your life. And I have this one hymn. I think it's a hymn. Yeah, it's a hymn. That I love, and I put it on the dashboard of my car. And I don't know every single word right now, but, like, it's basically the chorus. I know you guys probably know it. It says, I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. And I kind of want to, like, edit that when I sing it. Like, I'll sing it. Every time I get in my car, I'll, like, have it, and I'll sing it. And I just want it to say, I need thee, oh, I need thee, every second I need thee. Because what we need is, like, and that, I mean, it's good. Every hour we need him. But, wow, we need him every second, you guys. If we want these things to happen in our life, we need God every single second. Right? Yes. We want to pray and close. Father, I just thank you so much, God. And we just all just unite and declare to you, Lord God, that we absolutely are desperate for you, God. Father, we need you in every area of our lives, Lord God. And we've seen it so much this weekend, God. And you'll continue to show it to us the rest of our lives, Lord God. Because we'll always need you, God. We're never going to come to an end in this life where we've attained, God, where we've achieved, Lord. God, please help us to press on, Lord. Don't let the enemy come in and just try to steal what you've done, Lord God. Please let these changes be sincere, God. Father, go with us, Lord. May our lives, God, bring you glory, Lord. God, if we're not doing that, what are we doing? God, if our lives aren't bringing you glory, we just don't even, why are we living? Father, we just praise your name. We love you, God. Bless these ladies, God. Bless their families, God. Bless them as they go home. May this change that you brought about in their lives, Lord God, just trickle over onto everybody else around them, Lord God. We just love you so much. Hear me pray. Amen.